How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Everybody knows we are here to talk about today. It's the only thing anybody wants to talk about. It's the only thing anybody's wanted to talk about for a couple of weeks now, that being the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which is taking place tonight from Chicago, Illinois, the Allstate Arena. It is going to be a big show. We've got the Money in the Bank ladder match for both Raw and SmackDown. Of course, we've got the giant Big Show versus Mark Henry match. Randy Orton will be facing Christian. And, of course, in the main event, CM Punk is having his last night in the company, at least for the next several weeks, I'm sure. CM Punk is going in to face John Cena. He has vowed to win the championship and take it with him, perhaps to ROH, perhaps to New Japan. He is done with the company, he says. We're going to talk about that match. We'll talk about his future. And we're going to go through the email bin here and look at some of your predictions for what may happen in the main event of the show. This is the most anticipated WWE B show in a long, long time. And from talking to people that are there at the building today, I'm told there are fans everywhere. There's a real buzz about the building, and it's actually got a WrestleMania feel to it, at least to the wrestlers. I don't think they're going to tell anybody what the finish of the main event is going to be. The wrestlers are all going to be backstage watching on the monitor with the rest of us, watching the show to see how it goes. A lot of different ideas have been bandied about where to go for the finish. We're going to talk about those here on the show. We're going to run down all of the matches, give you a big preview. The show starts moments after we go off the air here, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. If you watch the show and you want Dave and I, we're going to give our thoughts immediately after the show. We're not going to be waiting several hours as we normally do. Immediately after Money in the Bank goes off the air, we're going to start recording. So at about 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight Eastern, our Wrestling Observer Radio will be available for everybody at WrestlingObserver.com, talking all of the fallout of this show. We're going to preview it here today on this program. However, we'll talk about Raw as well, both last week and tomorrow. SmackDown, plus a bunch of other news. Midsummer Night Dream, TNA, UFC injuries, so much more. It's going to be a packed show today, so check it out. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. The Money in the Bank pay-per-view. It's all anybody wants to talk about. The email box is already flooded. We're going to go over some of these scenarios here that people have sent in over the course of the next couple of hours. And Mike, are you excited for the show today?
Yeah, it's really hard not to be. They really obviously struck on something huge, a couple weeks ago on Raw, and ever since then, even though it's waned a little bit, but only slightly as far as the interest has gone, and then I think really ratcheted back up after last week's Raw, which I thought was it was probably their best go-home show of anything in quite some time, and they really did a great job again with that one. So, yeah, it's really hard, even though, this is going to be one of those cards that no one's going to remember anything else on this show, no matter almost how good it is. No one's going to remember that Kelly's going to be facing Brie Bella, but what they will remember is what happens at the end of this show, and there's so many eyeballs on it. It's really exciting as as an observer of professional wrestling, that it's all the eyes are on it, and no matter what happens tonight, good, bad, it won't be indifferent. People are either going to love it, they're going to hate it, but I can't see there being a whole lot of middle ground because people are just so passionate about everything, and the fact that they've been able to incorporate a lot of real life into this and a lot of little things like that, it has worked out great. Now the only thing for them is making sure it delivers in a way where people aren't remembering tonight because of how terrible it was or how flat it fell.
Do you think that at the end of the night people are going to be happy, or are they going to be sad?
I think they're going to be happy because you it's not like TNA WWE has screwed up a lot of stuff, but they usually, for that one night, when they're that concentrated and when they're that good, they're really that good. And just like Nexus on that Raw, Punk on this past Raw, you can pick a lot of things out from over time in the last couple of years where even though, it hasn't been the most creative spectacle, every week on Monday night, they have had one nights where they've done a great job, and I think that they know they can't screw this up. There's no reason for them to screw this up. They have a lot of options. There's a lot of different ways they can go. If they don't go too crazy or over the top with it, tonight's going to be just fine. Now, what happens in the aftermath following, that's sometimes where people have criticized them for losing their way, the Nexus being one of the biggest examples. So I think for tonight they're going to be fine. It's what comes after this that may end up, you know, getting them in trouble.
Well, it was last year at SummerSlam that the Nexus angle, they did that big tag match, and John Cena just beat the Nexus. And I think most people were not I certainly was not expecting that to happen. I guess there was part of me that thought, well, that is probably what is going to happen. But I didn't think that's what they should have done, and that's what they did. So, I mean, let's not talk about the main event yet. I want to tease everybody. We're going to go from the bottom of the card to the top. But the basic question for you before we get into your prediction is, do you think that when the show is over, John Cena will just have pinned CM Punk and that's the end of that?
No. No, that's the easiest thing to criticize them for, because there was one show you did during the week where you opened up the lines for people to call in and say, hey, come up with your idea. And I think the first four right off the bat said, we have no faith in WWE whatsoever. Cena wins clean in the middle of the ring. It's unfathomable. If that happens, no matter what you do on Monday, I mean, people are just going to be standing there with their jaws on the floor. They could do it, but it makes so little sense. It's just, that would be absolute insanity to me.
They have, when I did that show, we had 40% of the people calling in predicting that John Cena is just going to win. He's just going to pin CM Punk, and that is going to be the end of that. 60% did have a more elaborate scenario involving Punk winning, Money in the Bank winners, that sort of deal. We're going to get into some of those predictions here in just a moment, but let's start at the bottom. Let's work our way up to that main event, as they are going to do on the show as well. The card, we've got a World Heavyweight Championship match. Randy Orton is facing Christian for about the 5,000th time. And the storyline is that if Randy Orton gets disqualified, or if the referee makes a bad call, then Christian automatically wins the title. Now, this feud has been going on forever. Christian has been beaten like a drum. Christian winning the title here, the only way I see it happening is if somebody costs Orton the title and you switch Orton's feud to that person, and then Christian as heel champion goes on to face somebody else for a period of time, and then maybe you go back to Christian and Orton later on. But I just cannot fathom them putting the belt on Christian and giving us even more Randy Orton Christian matches. I know they're good matches. I know these guys love working together, but it's run its course now. So, but again, it's I don't know. You've beaten Christian so many times, it feels like you have to put the title on him now. Maybe I'm wrong. So, I don't know. I would not say this is even nearly as intriguing as the CM Punk main event, but it is intriguing, certainly to a degree, just to figure out what the hell they're going to do here. What are your thoughts?
Well, it just depends on how big of a follower of SmackDown you are as far as how much this is actually going to matter. I think the idea, I think Christian wins, and it plays into, and it will be with help. I think Christian will win with Sheamus interfering. I'll throw him out there as the guy that you know, ends up costing Orton the match. And then you get, because Orton and Sheamus doesn't need a title anyway, it plays into Christian, you know, getting it back in a basically a cowardly way. I mean, he's been beaten, he's looked terrible in this whole thing as far as, you know, being a tough guy, tagging the tour bus on Friday night and everything. I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, him with the title, I think, will actually make sense. And for me, would actually play into something later on down the line, too. But I think Orton and Sheamus is the way I'd want to go. And if I'm Randy Orton, I don't want to work with Mark Henry. So that's a way where Orton is working with Sheamus now for a while, leading into SummerSlam, which is a big match for that, which would make sense. So, and it keeps Mark Henry out of the mix for Randy Orton.
Tagging a tour bus, and
yeah, again, yes, he you know, had to put Orton is a moron or Teddy Long is a moron. It was just, you know, it was spelled out very nicely. I've never seen spray paint that well, before. It was very neat and everything. But yes, I mean, he's been, well, He's been kind of a geek this whole time.
Well, tagging a tour bus doing a blue screen deal with Orton's DVD to point out what a bad actor Orton is. I mean, this is scraping the bottom of the barrel of creativity. I mean, they are out of ideas. So it has to end tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'll go with your scenario. Christian wins a title. I hope that he just wins. I know that that's a preposterous thought, but I hate title changes. I mean, listen, if you don't want to put the title on Christian, then don't put the title on Christian. If you don't want to beat Orton, then don't beat Orton. But, you know, the halfway deal of, well, we don't really want Christian to beat Orton, but we want Christian to be the champion, so, you know, he's going to win by DQ and get the title or something like that. I hate those things. You know, if that should never be a stipulation. And if it is a stipulation, then it should never be acted upon. Meaning that if Christian is going to win the title, then Christian should pin or make Randy Orton submit. And he's not making Randy Orton submit, so he needs to pin him in the match tonight. And if he doesn't do that, then you shouldn't have bothered putting the belt on Christian at all, because he's never going to get over. Because you don't have faith in him. Because if you did have faith in him, you'd just have him beat Randy Orton. So anyway, that's my thoughts on that particular match right there. Big Show and Mark Henry. Mark Henry had a surprisingly decent match with Kane on television a couple of weeks ago. Can he do the same with Big Show? I don't know. It's two big, strong men. It's a mean guy match. And Mark Henry is, he's been around forever. I don't think they're ever really going to do anything with him. But they are pushing him now. Big Show's been around forever. He'll be fine. Just put Mark Henry over.
Yeah, I don't see what else would actually make sense there.
We've got Kelly Kelly and Brie Bella. A match that doesn't really matter. Based on television, I would expect Brie to win the title back. Again, it does not matter who the women's champion is. Maybe Kelly has been selling a lot of merchandise. I don't know. So maybe they'll keep the title on her. Or maybe they just like heel champions. I know that they do like the Bellas. So I'll predict Brie Bella gets the title back.
I will actually go with that as well.
Really? I thought you'd pick Kelly just to make things easy for us here.
No, they love them some Bellas, so for whatever reason that is, yes, they're more twin action.
We're going to talk more about this show when we come back from the break, including the long-awaited main event, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, also at WrestlingObserver.com. Tons of news to talk about today. We're here for the next hour and a half, pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, and yes, in about an hour and a half, Money in the Bank is going on the air, the WWE pay-per-view from Chicago. We've been running down the lineup, starting with the undercard. Making you wait for the main event here, as they do on your average WWE, UFC, boxing pay-per-view. So let's continue the lineup here. We've talked about most of the undercard matches. We are now at the Money in the Bank battles. The SmackDown Money in the Bank match. We've got Kane, Sin Cara, Daniel Bryan, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater, and Sheamus. Who is your prediction for that Money in the Bank ladder match?
I am going to say, and again, I'm not real sure how these matches are slotted, but if they're going in this order, since I had Sheamus is in the match, and I had him knocking off Orton or helping Orton lose, Orton goes out there, as Sheamus seems to have it in the bag, pushes him off, he drops to the ground, he loses, because Daniel Bryan climbs up and wins.
Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
I am going to pick... Who am I going to pick in this match? You know what's funny is a lot of people have been predicting that the SmackDown and Raw Money in the Bank winners are going to both cash in tonight on CM Punk. I actually predicted that several weeks ago. And when I look at this Money in the Bank match here, if I go by that scenario... It's funny, a lot of people who called in last week also came to the same conclusion that you got to use Cody Rhodes because Gabriel and Slater are too high on the geek scale to actually give them the Money in the Bank briefcase.
They're there to fly around.
Sure. And, you know, Sin Cara is not going to win and fail tonight.
He's there to do cool stuff.
Yeah, it's possible with Kane, I guess. Possible with Sheamus. I think Daniel Bryan, I don't know. I just think that Cody is a guy that, you know, people will buy that he won Money in the Bank, and they'll also buy that he tried to cash it in and failed. Maybe you'd want Punk is going to be a huge babyface, so you want it to be a heel. I'm going to pick Cody Rhodes in this particular match, which a lot of others did as well.
That's what he was my first, and when I first thought about it, it was like, you know what? I was thinking him or Barrett or Sheamus, and I was like, well, Sheamus doesn't really need it, so I was thinking like Barrett or Cody somehow in the mix, but I just think, it seems to be, with everything that they've done, it's going to be a, how everything's played out tonight, a Daniel Bryan kind of feel tonight in Chicago.
Well, then you'd have to have Daniel Bryan versus Punk, and I don't know. Maybe Daniel Bryan is also disgruntled and wants to go back to ROH.
Hold on. We're getting there. I thought we were building this up throughout
the
show.
I see. I was starting to make my prediction. All right, I'll skip that. Raw Money in the Bank. Rey Mysterio, Alberto Del Rio, Kofi Kingston, Alex Riley, R-Truth, Miz, Evan Bourne, and Jack Swagger. Who's your pick?
All right, remember how I said, a lot of what tonight people won't remember? Alex Riley wins Money in the Bank.
Alex Riley.
Yes.
I predict... You know who I predict? It's a ridiculous response here. I predict Evan Bourne.
That's not ridiculous.
I pick Evan Bourne.
Here's the thing, they've always played up, and they'll probably do it tonight, too, the guy that's won money... There's never been a guy that's won Money in the Bank, cashed in, and lost. I foresee that happening. I'll build two up to later in the night and everything, but, that's going to happen with one of these guys at some point, I think.
Well, let's talk about it then. The main event, John Cena, CM Punk for the title in Chicago. Cena's fired if Punk... Now this is a very important key. Cena will be fired, and by the way, he won't be fired, everybody. We all know that. In fact, they even mentioned that on Raw, that he couldn't even be gone a week when he was fired last time. Punk actually mentioned that in a promo. If Punk leaves Chicago with the title, then Cena would be fired, which means they've closed the loophole if one of the Money in the Bank winners loses. And what is your prediction for this particular show?
Well, I just want to say this, too. I think my prediction is after we get done with this show, there should never be this much fantasy booking on Wrestling Observer Live ever again. But before this match happens, Alex Riley is attacked brutally backstage by Alberto Del Rio, who is still pissed he's the number one contender. He is pissed he had to put his body on the line, and he is pissed when his destiny is there that new kid Alex Riley won the match, and he brutally beats him, lays him out, basically making it very clear, no matter what happens, Alex Riley will not be the one cashing in anything tonight, no matter what happens in the main event. Del Rio storms out. They show him driving off. He will be gone. And then that will come to more of a head on Monday night. But I think Cena, he'll fight off Otunga. He'll fight off McGillicuddy. I don't know if Mason Ryan can limp to the ring. Maybe they break him out. They bring back Luke. I don't know. Luke Gallows could pop up. Who knows? Cena fights all of them off. And Mr. McMahon's help at some point, he comes down, tries to help. It backfires. Punk wins the title. But Daniel Bryan then comes out at the behest of Mr. McMahon. They actually do something great. People will actually love it there and somehow gets the submission, gets some sort of victory no matter how he does it. And technically, at the end of that show, Punk's gone. Cena lost, giving Punk the title, but because of Mr. McMahon's interference backfiring. But Daniel Bryan, at least for tonight, stands on top as the champion.
A fascinating booking scenario there. I thought where you were going was that you were going to say that Mr. McMahon sends out Daniel Bryan to take the championship back, and Daniel Bryan also would like to go back to ROH or New Japan, and so he lays down for Punk.
It entered my mind, but then I thought that would be a little bit too crazy. And again, I think because the way I figured it too, the next night on Raw, Vince can fire Cena for one. You know, basically, he fires him. He orders Brian to gets him to come out and says, "You're the worst of both Cena and Punk. You know, you're an internet darling, but you're, you know, a big kiss up, and you're bland, and you're vanilla like Cena." And you know, he starts getting ornery again. And you know, he sends out Alberto, says, "You know what? You get your shot now." And he beats Brian, which I know looks awful on Daniel Bryan, but later on in the show, The Rock comes out on the Titantron. Even though Cena's been fired, somehow Rock comes back for that next Raw. Even though Cena won't be there, because God knows they can't have Cena off too many shows, but it would give a reason to, people would forget Cena wouldn't be on there because Rock would be, at least for one night. Bryan goes back to SmackDown. Christian makes fun of him for being a one-day champion. How does it feel? Rubs it in. While you have Sheamus wrestling Orton, you have Christian and Bryan. Now, you have to figure out something to do with Mark Henry, but that can happen. And then McGillicuddy and Atunga go to SmackDown, lose to the Usos. That breaks them up, so you don't have to worry about the Nexus. They can kind of dissolve that, and then you're done with that. And then you can kind of go from there up until SummerSlam. And it's, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, to me it wouldn't be that hard to do that. Because you have Rock and Alberto get into it on the Raw that Cena's not there because Alberto wants to have a celebration. He rubs the Rock wrong. Basically, obviously, Cena would be back. Basically, you could actually have it where somehow, some way, Alberto and Cena wrestle, where Cena can get his job back and the title at SummerSlam. And to me, that's when you would have The Rock actually do something dirty there. And then, I don't know, you can have Cena with Dolph for a while or something like that. But the Cena, you can just do something where The Rock ends up getting something on Cena, because you'd have to do something there. Plus, he keeps the belt on Alberto for a while, so you don't have to worry about that. And that just is some lead up going into Royal Rumble, because we're still a long way off from WrestleMania. And is Cena going to hold the belt the whole time? No, and it's a way for the belt to stay on Alberto.
Good God, that was complex.
That was a little long, but yes. I think all of that probably will not happen, but it's a scenario. Just like everyone's got a scenario.
All right, here's my scenario. This is only a one-day scenario. I changed my pick for the SmackDown Money in the Bank. It's got to be a monster, so I predict Kane for the SmackDown Money in the Bank. So here's what happens. You do CM Punk and John Cena. They have a match. Everything's going along. The people hate Punk, or the people hate Cena. They love Punk. On and on they go. Suddenly, as they're going to the finish, who should attempt to jump the rail but Colt Cabana, who is, in fact, in Chicago. So Colt Cabana goes to jump the rail, and as it's Bedlam and Ballyhoo and all the geeks go to stop him from jumping the rail, who sneaks into the ring but Luke Gallows? And he lays out John Cena, and CM Punk gets the win. And everybody goes nuts. Yay! So, of course, the music hits and the Money in the Bank winner comes out, the Raw Money in the Bank winner. It's Evan Bourne. I chose Evan because I think him and Punk would have, like, a great five-minute match. They do a great five-minute match. Evan goes up top for the Shooting Star. Something happens. Punk hits the... maybe he's doing it, and in mid-move, Punk catches him GTS. I know that's never going to happen, but...
That would be awesome.
It was a cool video game scenario in my mind. He gets laid out. He's dead. So I had somebody email me saying, "Brian, you're such an idiot. The SmackDown Money in the Bank winner can't cash in on the Raw guy." Fact is, the person that emailed me that is the fool. Because in the storyline, Vince is commanding the SmackDown guy to go out and save his title. Vince can change the rules if he wants to. So he commands the SmackDown guy to go out and save the title. Of course, it's Kane, the Giant. Kane goes out. He beats the crap out of Punk. It looks like Kane's going to save the title for WWE, but lo and behold, Punk hoists him up GTS 1-2-3. Everybody goes nuts. There's no more Money in the Bank winners. Punk has the title. All of a sudden, Alberto's music plays, because 3 weeks ago on Raw, when Punk had been suspended, they did a number one contenders match for this show, and Alberto Del Rio won. So he is the number one contender for this show. He comes down, armbar, that's the end of Punk. He gets sent packing. Alberto's our champion. That's my prediction for tonight. We'll get Mike's thoughts on that when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are talking Money in the Bank. We both gave our scenarios. prior to the break. And Mike, your thoughts on two Money in the Bank winners failing and then Alberto using his number one contendership to take the title?
I like that a lot. I do like that. And that would actually be the, I mean, would make a lot of sense for that to happen. Not only do you have one guy lose it for the first time, you know, both brands lose it for the first time if you don't have Alberto win one of them. And then he comes out, and as you said, he was the number one contender. You know, and I'm in my scenario, I had him more pulling that card on Raw on Monday night, and then building a little bit of a different way to it. But you know, again, if you did it tonight, it would make sense. And he is can be a Vince McMahon guy, and can still then be the instigator in messing with John Cena and messing with The Rock and stuff like that. And no matter which direction he wanted to go, because obviously, right around the time SummerSlam's happening, which is in Los Angeles, you know, The Rock will obviously be around, and Alberto will be in the top of that mix. So I think he'll fare a lot better than The Miz did in that scenario when The Rock was around with John Cena. But, again, I think it's a really good idea there. And I do like the idea of – I love the idea of the Kings of Wrestling and Colt Cabana coming in. I do. My scenario would have them going out – and, again, it would require them actually not jumping the gun. But if you waited on bringing Punk back, because in my scenario, he wouldn't have the title, he would be gone, he can go to Ring of Honor for the first set of tapings, which take place in the beginning of August. Those three shows will be over and done with in syndication by October 8th. You would still have more than a month for Punk to come back in November at Madison Square Garden in front of that crowd where you'd probably get the most reaction with it wouldn't be Paul Lee to me, but maybe a Mick Foley. Then you bring in Colt. Then you bring back Luke Gallows on a full-time basis, even if you bring him back tonight to interfere. The Kings of Wrestling, possibly. I mean, I think I would wait till then because I think he would get great maximum impact. Of course, I'm giving them credit in that they would wait that long. And you can bring him back as faces if you can see if you can do it as heels, if that's the case. Because, again, I'm not going to fall over shocked if it's CM Punk and Steve Austin at WrestleMania next year.
Well, that's certainly the match that Punk wants.
And by this scenario, I mean, it takes you from the Survivor Series to at least Royal Rumble with, you know, before, because Punk, if Punk's a babyface and there's going to be people that cheer him, obviously people are still going to cheer Austin anyway, but you would have him turning on Foley or somebody like that or on his group to be squared off against Austin by about Royal Rumble. So, it would be a time frame that could work.
This show is going to be really funny to listen to tomorrow.
Because none of this is going to happen, and you know what? I'll be like all those other callers. Watch, you know, the attitude adjustment, the STF or something like that. You know, John Cena wins clean.
Or you could be completely correct.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You never know. Let's look at this realistically. How long do you think Punk will be gone? I mean, in your scenario, obviously it's a while, but do you expect him out more than a month?
Well, see, and that's kind of sad that you don't have that much faith in them when it comes to these things because, you know, I was at that first house show when Juan Cena returned the night before he was on Raw again. No, I mean, if you go off there, how things have been going, I would not be shocked. If it's at least by SummerSlam, which, you know, what date's that, August 14th? I could see him being back August 14th. It's what, July 17th today? Yeah, that would be less than a month. I could actually see him back then. I would not fall over shocked at that whatsoever.
I don't see him. I don't see him there tomorrow. But I would be stunned if he were not back by August 14th. I had another scenario that I never really thought it out completely, but it was kind of in my brain as something that people could think about and try and make better. But I thought of also the scenario of you just have Punk win. And then you send in your Money in the Bank winners, and he beats those guys as well, and the show goes off the air with him as champion, and everybody's buzzing about what it means, and, you know, probably calling their friends, and, I mean, anybody who cares, I have this feeling. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I know that the internet is not as powerful as people think, you know, as far as, like, you see Zack Ryder come out, for example, and he's really popular on the internet, but you see him come out, and you know, some places he gets a big reaction, some places he gets no reaction at all. Like, the people in that city have no idea what the deal is with Zack Ryder. And I mean, personally, you know, I don't watch Zack's videos on the internet. I'm aware of them, but I don't watch them. So, you know, the internet is kind of a really weird thing. But I have this feeling that of the 5.5 million people that watch Raw regularly, I just have a feeling that most of them, by the time Raw rolls around tomorrow night, whether they buy the pay-per-view or not, they're going to know whether or not CM Punk won. Even if it's just going to WWE.com or calling their friends or whatever the case might be. And one of my scenarios was that Punk wins, he beats your Money in the Bank guys, and he leaves with the championship. But then, like, the next night on Raw, the show opens, they show a recap of the pay-per-view, but in the recap, they have John Cena at the end of the recap holding the championship up in the air, maybe footage from another event. And the entire show is all about how Vince McMahon has made the directive that CM Punk did not win. No one is to mention CM Punk's name. Nobody is to mention that he won the title. Everyone is just supposed to pretend that it never happened. And I'm not entirely sure how you would pull this off, but it's kind of one of those things where if you did it right, I think people would just be begging for Punk to come back as this uncrowned champion. You know, every week they'd be chanting, "We want Punk," and they'd know that he was really the champion, even though WWE was pretending that he wasn't. I think it's too hard to pull off, but I like the scenario because, to me, there are like a lot of things that you can do to make this seem really exciting without making it seem like, you know, the actual pro wrestling that we watch every single week on television. And one of the ways to do that would be, and again, this is, you know, Punk really wants to go home and sit on the couch. That's the other problem with the scenario here. But, you know, often when you have a guy enter the building through the crowd, it's like, you know, you focus the camera on the guy, the announcers talk about him, the whole nine yards. You know, can you imagine a Raw if, like, in the middle of a match, and not like a match nobody cares about, because that's when they always do this, but like, you know, a Randy Orton versus Kane match or whoever on Raw, you know, just somebody like that. You have CM Punk just come in the building in front of all the people. And you don't focus on it at all, you don't talk about it, you cut the camera away from it, and you just see the entire audience standing up and turning their head and looking at something. Everybody on TV is going to know that something happened, but they're not going to know what it is, but they're going to know, if you know what I mean. And all the fans will start chanting Punk's name, they'll be going nuts, everybody will know what happened, but you don't have to hammer people in the head with it. And I just think there are a lot of little things you can do like that to just make people begging to see CM Punk come back to TV. And probably way too complex a scenario because there are a lot of issues to do it, not the least of which is I like logic, and I don't know how you would possibly, in storyline, have John Cena go along with this, which he would have to. So, you know, there are problems with it, but I think it's kind of an idea that somewhere down the road with somebody maybe you could do.
Well, Brian, you could actually have Cena not want to do it the whole time, but you know, damn it, you want to do it for the fans, you got to do it here. You know, you still have to work for me, and Vince can, you know, you can heal up The Rock a little bit that way, too, by having him, The Rock, you know, the Rock doesn't kiss up to me. Look at his success. I mean, you can just basically kind of have him clawing at Cena's pride and kind of go in that direction if you wanted to do that. I wonder, let me play devil's advocate and ask you this. There's only one name that's been officially erased from history when it comes to WWE. Can you see any comparisons like that coming up, or think anyone it would be in bad form to do the, you know, that we're going to erase this whole thing from history, or do you just do it in a way that's not too over the top but still is like the old school ways of doctoring film and stuff like that that guys used to do on TV?
No, I wouldn't do anything like that. I mean, I would just, maybe they could even, you know, maybe you have the announcers mention his name, but just the fact that he lost last night. You know, we wish CM Punk the best in his future endeavors. He put up a great fight last night, but fell victim to the attitude adjustment. Meanwhile, everybody knows this is just complete BS. And, even do an in-ring segment. So you have the crowd reacting to this lie. You know, I don't know exactly how you would pull it off, but, and obviously, you know, he'd be back in a month anyway. So you'd find some way to make the whole thing work. But let's jump into the mailbag here. Let's see what the people have to say about these, about different suggestions. This person says, I think Punk straight loses to Cena, total anti-climax. Then Vince comes out to cheer Cena and see Punk's off. See off Punk, Triple H's music hits, he pedigrees Punk, they sing the goodbye song. The crowd is pissed off, and backstage Vince is angry that it didn't go down well. He blames Zack Ryder. I don't think that one's happening. I'm not even quite sure what that scenario was, but I don't think that's happening.
No, I can see something, you know, depending on what happens, where Zack Ryder gets the brunt of a Vince McMahon thing in a short clip on a Raw, leading up to SummerSlam or something like that. But no, not that much Zack Ryder.
All right, quick and simple. Do you think that this show will turn business around, or will just pop a 1 month buy rate? Thanks in advance. This is an interesting question because I don't know what this show is going to do. My gut feeling is it's going to do pretty well. There are certainly people that think it's not going to do well at all. Nobody cares about Punk. Nobody cares about the inside stuff. I think those people are wrong, but one of us will be right, so we shall see. The big thing to me is, let's just say that I am correct and that people are fascinated by this storyline, that it does a big buy rate. You know, among the wrestlers and among a lot of people in Chicago, as noted, there is a feeling, a WrestleMania-like feeling. And obviously that doesn't mean like a 500,000 buys or anything like that, but maybe it'll do, 175,000, 200,000 buys. My question is, what happens when Punk is gone for a month? That's why I actually originally came up with the storyline of pretending that it never happened, because it was a way to get Punk off TV for a long period of time and have the fans begging every single week for him to come back, and you always wonder when it's going to be, because obviously it's inevitable. Whereas, if he just, he puts on a fight, he beats one guy, he puts on a fight, he beats another guy, he puts on a fight, and finally Alberto beats him and leaves with the title. There's like, it's really cool and everything like that, but there's like that sense of finality to it. Like, oh, well, Punk's gone now. And then you turn on Raw and there's no Punk. And then you turn on SmackDown, there's no Punk. And then maybe you tune in one more week, there's no Punk. Is that going to be the end of the interest in this angle? Are people really going to be sticking around for 4, 5, 6 weeks until he finally comes back? It's like he is hot right now. And you strike when the iron is hot. You don't do one pay-per-view and then get rid of the guy for 6 months. And I'm sure they didn't anticipate it getting this hot, but it's just it's a strange thing to reach a peak like this and then the guy's gone.
Well, that's why there's possibly a scenario where, can you imagine Vince helping Punk win and ha ha ha, and that's, that's the one problem is, and maybe I'm not thinking creatively enough about it, but there's very few ways where I can fathom Punk being there, not like nothing ever happened, but he's still going to be part of the team come Monday night, like he is re-signed or something like that, where the scenario just doesn't suck.
This person here voices the opinion of many fans and emails I've gotten. The Cena heel turn is a pipe dream. Although it makes sense, it is best for business. Unfortunately, I see a classic, stale CM Punk turning to side with Vince and becoming Vince's new corporate champion. I hope I'm wrong, but I have lost faith in WWE. Actually, I would not expect Punk as Vince's corporate guy. Punk is the kind of guy that I can't even see him even conceiving of coming back for something like that.
No, and not only that, no. And Cena turning heel is not the best thing for business. It's not.
We got a ton of emails here. We're going to go over some more of these. We've also got a lot of news we're going to talk about in the second hour. We got UFC news. The injury rash continues. We've got TNA news. But we're going to talk more about Money in the Bank until we have run out. It's coming up next, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Short segment here. So we are going to look into the mailbag here. A million Money in the Bank scenarios. Let me read this one before we go to the break. My idea for Money in the Bank is Punk beats Cena. You bring in Del Rio after the match, either cashing in the briefcase or because he was promised a title shot on the pay-per-view beforehand. Vince is at ringside. Del Rio is his final chance for the title to remain with the company. Near falls for Punk. Vince is freaking out. As Del Rio applies a cross arm breaker, Vince calls for the bell, and you have the screw job finished. God, I hope not. As Del Rio is celebrating, Punk exits the ring, gets in Vince's face, pushes him down, proceeds to grab the championship, exits the building. You have a situation where Del Rio is officially a champion. Punk is still champion in the fans' eyes, still holds the original physical belt, gives Punk motivation to come back. He views himself as a real champion. I like the idea of Punk being the uncrowned champion. I really like that idea. But I think you can do that and still have him lose. You know, listen, if Punk beats Cena in a 20-minute match, and then Punk pins Evan Bourne in a 5-minute match. And then Punk pins Kane in another 5-minute match. And the guy is just brutally exhausted. He's beating guy after guy after guy. And finally Del Rio comes out and they go back and forth there. And maybe as he goes for the GTS, you know, he's up on the shoulders. Del Rio can spin into the armbar or something like that. And that's the end of Punk. Sometimes you can get over bigger. We've seen this a million times. Get over bigger in losing than in winning. And you can still beat the guy, and people can still see him as an uncrowned champion because it wasn't fair for him to have 1, 2, 3, 4 matches in one night. I'd much rather do that than just a lame Montreal screwjob finish.
Again, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, what not to do? What's going to end the night? Because that's all people are going to beat on, no matter how good any of the matches are or how good anybody's performance is. That'll be the glowing thing that came from this is a TNA moment, another Montreal screw job.
We're going to head to our hourly break. We shall be back in just a moment. We'll talk more into Money in the Bank. We'll take more of your emails. We'll talk the news. A lot of stuff to talk about today. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare at WrestlingObserver.com. We're here talking the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which takes place moments after the show goes off the air this afternoon. We got a lot of other news to talk about, but quite frankly, we'll see how much of it we get to talk about here, because this is all anybody wants to talk about today. It is the most anticipated WWE B show, probably in years. I'm trying to think of the last time that there was a B show that had this much, really a show, aside from like WrestleMania and maybe Royal Rumble, but as far as a show that has an incredible amount of interest, and more so, I hate to compare this to the Invasion, because the Invasion pay-per-view did 775,000 buys, and this show is going to do a fraction of that. But I have not seen a show, probably since the Invasion, where I've gotten so many emails, we took phone calls, you know, everybody has an idea for where they're going to go. And a lot of the ideas are similar. Some of the ideas are way out there. But everybody has an idea. And I'm just hoping that, unlike the Invasion, when we took ideas for months about what WWE was going to do now that they had bought WCW, I hope that what they do with CM Punk at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view is better than what WWE did at the Invasion, because we didn't have a single person come up with an idea dumber than what WWE actually did. And we've had some wacky ideas here for the CM Punk angle, so we're going to see how it goes. And Mike, in the first hour, you noted that you've got faith.
Well, I got to try to at least have some faith, at least for one night. I mean, again, what they do after this is questionable. But really, I mean, they're going to have a good two-month run, because they're going to have, you know, the SummerSlam coming up right after this, obviously with some Rock involvement going to happen in L.A., which, you know, every time they've gone to L.A., they've gotten an awesome crowd. So it's going to be a good run for them no matter what. Even creatively, if things aren't fantastic, I can't see SummerSlam doing poorly. Now, the 5 weeks of Raw leading into Night of Champions in September, that might be a different story.
We're going to head to a break. We'll come back and take more of your email suggestions on this storyline. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour. Pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, although realistically, we're just talking about Money in the Bank. And it's interesting, because before the break, Mike, we were talking about SummerSlam, and you mentioned Rock, and you seem to think it's inevitable that Rock is going to be at SummerSlam this year.
You've announced WrestleMania for next year, and I know you have the mentality of they should probably kind of drill it home, or at least mention it every week where it keeps it in people's minds. I don't think you necessarily have to have him on there every week, but, you know, when it comes time for something like this, and again, it's just the timing's too good because they're in L.A., because he's a YouTube shooter now, and I haven't seen that yet. I know you have. It's a good way to keep him in the mix, you know, when you have him pop up there like a Muppet every once in a while to keep him going. Because, again, it's a long, long time to WrestleMania, and I don't have that much faith in them that they can do it like they did in 86 or something like that where, you know, they're plotting and planning for 6 months. So, you know, him popping up there just to make everyone remember, I think, is a good idea.
He is, in fact, a YouTube shooter. He cut a promo on Cena based on what Cena had said about him in Australia. And reason I brought up SummerSlam is because in that promo, Rock does talk about returning to beat up John Cena. But while he does not give a date, he strongly suggests it's going to be at Survivor Series. So I'm thinking that he is not, in fact, going to be in L.A. for SummerSlam. And his first date back might be Madison Square Garden, which actually around Survivor Series is normally where they start to build to WrestleMania. So I'm thinking that's where he's going to be next, but it's a possibility he could make a video cameo at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on how much he can be around, too. And again, that, in a way, that plays into the Punk thing, too. Cena, it's a lot of names there as far as, you know, not being able to take full advantage of, you know, many of them.
All right, let's do some more of these emails here. This person says, Kofi wins the Raw Money in the Bank. Punk beats Cena. Kofi challenges Punk. Punk leaves the ring right away and gets himself counted out, saying he's done for the night and going to celebrate in the city with an ice-cold Pepsi because Coke doesn't pay him anything. It's a good line. And then spend some time in Phoenix. Of course, that's a reference to Beth Phoenix. On his way out, Del Rey attacks him with a chair, beats him down, throws him into the ring, rings the bell, and wins the belt. So another person predicting that Del Rey wins. You know, that is an interesting sort of scenario that I had not thought about, which adds a twist to it. That being that if CM Punk beats John Cena for the title, why doesn't he just walk out? Why doesn't he get himself counted out or disqualified, since you cannot lose the championship on a count out or a disqualification?
That's a very fine point.
Perhaps he tries.
That's possible.
I suppose he could get himself disqualified in the match with the Raw Money in the Bank winner, and then Vince commands the SmackDown Money in the Bank winner to come out.
Then what do you do on Raw Monday night then? And who is there and what happens?
I don't know. You know, another idea I always thought about. Here I am giving away all my booking ideas here. What the hell? Why not? I remember when Miz cashed in Money in the Bank, and after he cashed it in, Alex Riley was still running around with that briefcase.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And somebody once asked Alex in an interview, "Why do you still carry around the briefcase?" And his response was something like, well, it ended up being a good gimmick, so I just kept bringing it to the ring. All right. Good quality control in WWE. But I was always thinking, and here's a scenario that every time I mention these scenarios, they of course never happen, but I like this scenario. Alberto Del Rio wins Money in the Bank. Let's just say that he wins it tonight. He wins Money in the Bank. And you do a deal where, somebody comes out to cash it in and fails. And then all of a sudden, Alberto's music hits. He comes down and he beats Punk for the title and off he goes. Everyone's like, oh, Del Rio cashed in his Money in the Bank, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, then, I don't know, you do something where Cena beats him or whatever the case might be. And you go along and you do your storylines here and there. And suddenly one day, I don't know how you build it up, but, John Cena wins a match at a pay-per-view. And suddenly Alberto's music hits and he runs down with his Money in the Bank briefcase and he cashes it in and he wins the title. And everyone's like, he already cashed it in. But then you explain that, in fact, he never cashed it in because he was the number one contender. And that's how he came out, and he got his first title match the night that he won the Money in the Bank. See what I mean here? So I'm looking at ways. I always look for a swerve. You know, There's obviously better ways to do a lot of these, but I always look for a swerve where you never saw it coming. But after it happened, you're like, you know, you're right. He actually had won a number one contenders match, and so it makes sense that he still has his briefcase. They never announced he cashed in his briefcase. He just came out, and everyone assumed that he cashed in his briefcase. But instead, he was cashing in his number one contenders. I like an idea like that, where when people think about it, they go, you know, I never thought about that, but it makes sense. Unlike the TNA swerve, where things just happen, and they make no sense, and it's a swerve for the sake of being swerved, and you kind of are angry about it afterwards because it makes no sense. I hate those kind, but I always thought about that when Alex Riley was carrying that briefcase around. I was like, I wonder if they did a deal where he actually never did cash it in, and he'd been number one contender or something like that, and that's why Riley is still carrying around the briefcase. But they never ended up doing that, so there you go.
No, but there's, again, that's another actually really good one that could be a really good idea, and that's where I just, you know, I don't think it would make sense, and that would actually be a way for Alberto to also get a lot more heat, too, and get him more hated, you know, from everybody and get the reaction that you really want to start having him to get from people, too, by being that slimy and doing that. And, you know, with Ricardo coming back or something like that, and you can bring back Brodus Clay in the mix of, you know, maybe, you know, because he is obviously not doing anything on SmackDown. I guess he's back in Florida or wherever he's at. But, you know, where he can come back as a bodyguard for him and, you know, and just get, you know, more going that way. It would actually be a really good idea. Again, you may be putting too much thought into it, but it's a really good idea.
This is actually a really good idea. Michael sent this in. My idea is pretty simple. You have Punk win the belt and leave. On Raw, you have Vince come out acting like he is not worried at all and saying there will be a tournament to determine a new champion. After he announces who is in the tournament, the wrestlers who are in come out and say they don't want to be in because CM Punk is the real champion and they don't want to be a paper champion. This forces Vince to do whatever it takes to bring Punk back or have no champion. Pretty creative idea. The only problem with it is it just doesn't work when you've got two champions. If there was only one WWE champion, then you could do something like this, but you know, there's already a champion on the other brand. Plus, I mean, realistically, you'd be able to find, I mean, Zack Ryder would come out and say, I don't care, I'll be in the championship match, you know?
That's, yeah, there's, you know, and there's one, I got to find it here, too, that was about Nexus that was actually a pretty good idea. I just don't think they would even bother with it. It was basically, and I'll have to try to find it here. I don't know if you have another email ready, but I got to try to find it because it would actually make great logical sense, but I don't think that they would actually do something like that to even bother with Wade Barrett or Nexus again.
All right, we'll get to that one here in a bit. As soon as I find it, I'm running through all of these here. Levi here. Daniel Bryan wins SmackDown Money in the Bank. Del Rio wins the Raw one. Punk beats Cena. Del Rio cashes in and beats Punk. Bryan comes in and cashes in and beats Del Rio, forming an anti-WWE stable.
Again, I would have no problem with that one either. And again, but then it's... And I guess then is the stable off TV for a while without the belt, or do they just continue to roll on because everyone else is under contract except for Punk?
Well, this one also, I mean, I had not thought of one Money in the Bank winner cashing in on another, but that does kind of, I do agree with the guy that SmackDown and Raw, I always thought those briefcases were exclusive to the brand. The only reason it worked in my scenario is because the championship is in danger of being taken from the company, and Vince is changing the rules on the fly. You know, he's commanding the SmackDown guy to go cash in for the Raw title. He wants that title in the company by hook or crook. You know, not doing that, you know, somebody cashing in and winning it from Punk and then the SmackDown guy cashing in and winning it from the Raw guy. Not sure about that scenario, but it is, you know, if the briefcases were not exclusive, then that would be kind of a cool scenario. We'll get Mike's thoughts on that when we come back. Read more emails, tons of stuff. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Fantasy Booking Live, here on the Sport Byline Radio Network. I always hated fantasy booking, Mike. I always hated it. But for some reason, this one's a lot of fun. And they have created a storyline where there are so many ways to go. And what is interesting about it is, and the reason for it, is that this is the only pay-per-view of the year where the show ends with two number one contenders that can cash in at any time. You know, if this same match were taking place at SummerSlam, unless you had two people running around with briefcases, then you couldn't have so many open-ended scenarios. The reason this works is because you've got 16 guys who could leave the show as number one contender. Not to mention, you've got Cena and Punk, there's two guys. You've got eight guys in each match, that's 16. There are 18 possible scenarios of who is going to walk out as champion at the end of the show tonight. And I don't know if there's ever been... Has there ever been a period where there were two Money in the Bank winners running around? Because I know when they did the pay-per-view last year, Kane like cashed it in that night. I don't think there ever has been. So like this there has not been a show, maybe ever, where there are so many different possibilities. I guess maybe the Royal Rumble, you know. But because obviously,
but not anymore. I mean that you pretty much kind of know who it's going to be. I mean there's not the surprises. You know, Cody Rhodes isn't going to win the Royal Rumble. I mean, you can do it, and you can have it make sense because of the way the Elimination Chamber is and stuff like that. But you just, until they actually do something like that, I won't believe it out of the Rumble.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the Rumble, I mean, same with the Rumble, same with tonight. Cody Rhodes is not leaving with the championship tonight. I mean, I would bet good money on that one. You know, there's only, it's going to be Cena, it's going to be Del Rio, it's going to be Punk. It's almost certainly going to be one of those three scenarios. I mean, maybe they throw in some sort of, some sort of wild card until tomorrow. But, you know, realistically, Heath Slater is not leaving with the championship tonight. That's pretty much a guarantee. But, you know, there are 18 different possibilities of who could leave with the championship. And even unlike Royal Rumble, you know, Royal Rumble, it's like, oh, well, maybe Del Rio will win. That's about as much fantasy booking as you can do. In this scenario here, it's like, okay, maybe Del Rio will win, but here's how. Because you've got all of these different possible scenarios here. I can't remember the last time there was a show that had so many different possible scenarios, and that's why we're getting so many emails about it. Let's look at some of these. And by the way, since I didn't do an official introduction, it is Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
You know what? You made fun of the name calling it Fantasy Booking Live. I mean, if we were going to talk about the UFC, which we may get to later on, it would just be Welcome to Infirmary Live.
Infirmary?
Well, yes. General Hospital Live. You know, the Injured Reserve Live. Something like that.
Sure.
I'm going to a show in Philadelphia where I may actually be on the card.
You?
It's possible. If guys keep dropping out, it's very, very possible. Matt Zuschenko was going to be the nuclear possibility to fill in against Rashad Evans. Thank God that didn't happen because Matt Zuschenko got hurt and is now off the card.
It could, in fact, have been you against Rashad Evans.
I know who I'd bet on.
My money would, in fact, be on Rashad. I'm not going to lie.
That's as well it should be.
This person says, I'll keep it short and sweet. Punk walks out with the title. He beats Cena and one or both of the Money in the Bank winners. And that's a prediction. There you go.
I found this one here from Jeremy in California. I think Punk beats Cena. Punk beats Raw Money in the Bank winner Kofi Kingston. Gets attacked by Otunga and McGillicuddy. SmackDown Money in the Bank winner Wade Barrett cashes in and becomes the WWE Champion. He's revealed as the leader of Nexus again. He has the WWE Championship and has gotten rid of the two men who Nexus attacked in their debut and now has Mr. McMahon groveling at his feet for saving his company the embarrassment of losing their top championship. It may not have been the way he had planned when he started Nexus, but Wade Barrett is now at the top of the WWE. Makes fine logical sense in the whole nine yards that it would just be, would they want to go back to that with Nexus? And I don't really see that, although it would make sense.
Not a bad idea. I don't know if they've done enough with Wade Barrett lately for, I mean, I guess you can push anybody at any time. But usually there are clues in what they do. That's why my original idea was Punk just wins, Money in the Bank guy tries to cash in, fails, Vince commands the other guy to do it, that guy wins. That was my original scenario, but my new one had him beating both guys, and then Alberto uses his number one contendership to win the championship. And the reason I came up with that was because when Punk was suspended that 1 week, and they did the number one contenders match, which Alberto won, and then just like the next week, Punk was back, and so Alberto didn't get the shot. There was that part of me that was like, well, why did you do that match then? Like, why did you do a number one contender match that Alberto Del Rio won if it wasn't going to mean anything? Unless, you know, the idea is that he's going to get his number one contender match at SummerSlam. But they never mentioned that. So, you know, my whole thought was this has to be part of the plan. And maybe I'm giving them way too much credit. But if this were, like, logically booked storylines, then that would absolutely be part of the plan. And that works into my storyline there. But...
Well, I may be too, but I agree with it was the same thing too, where it was just like it. Not that it stuck out like a sore thumb or anything, because I think the average person would forget about it, which is why it would work as a surprise again if you brought it back up. But yeah, I mean, they're not going to. I doubt they would forget about that one. If this isn't for, you know, on Superstars for the, you know, the TV title or something like that. For some reason, I just think that was done purposely for a reason.
This person here says, you have Austin screw Punk out of the title. He can then have a promo where he says how embarrassed he was that Punk wore his shirt when talking about running away with the title. I worked hard for 10 years to build the WWE to where it is today, and you think I would just allow some jackass to destroy all that? Easy build to WrestleMania. If they were for sure doing that match at WrestleMania, that would be a pretty good suggestion. But I don't know if they are. There's a lot of things up. I mean, I'm sure they both love the match, but there's still a lot of things up in the air, whether Austin can go and
that's way too much time for Austin to be in the mix on WWE programming. Would he want to be on that long in the mix for that long? I mean, you could do that one way later.
Not to mention, according to Punk, the reason he wore the Austin shirt was because he had it in his bag. There was no secret meaning to it or anything like that. Although, he's a big Austin fan. He wants to match. You know, this was not like, I don't think, and God knows, because the whole Punk Vince thing is like very, I mean, the writers have no idea what's going on here. You know, they're being kept in the dark about a lot of this stuff. In fact, they've been told, for whatever it's worth, that don't bother writing Punk in the storylines after tonight. So, you know, for the foreseeable future, he is gone. And by foreseeable, I mean like at least this next week, because they don't think that far in advance. But, you know, he's going to be gone for a while. And whatever's happening tonight, I don't think the writers know. I don't think that the wrestlers know. It's being kept very close to the vest. So that is the latest there. This person says, if Punk wins the title and keeps it through the end of the pay-per-view, will they do an angle where he gets a new belt made, since he recently made fun of what the current belt looks like? It would make some cool visuals of him getting christened with a brand new belt, then buying a ticket to Raw tomorrow night and sitting in the front row wearing it. Well, I don't think he's going to be on Raw tomorrow, but I picture a CM Punk belt being a leather strap and a giant Pepsi logo with, like, Pepsi cans down the side.
Him or just a smirking picture of his face, or like the I Heart Cult shirt with the Star of David on it or something like that. Yeah, I can actually see that, as long as it's not like that Bob Backlund People's Champion cardboard belt that a kid had made for him. I'd be okay with it.
I wish he'd just come back with the old the Eagle belt from the mid-90s.
See, I don't like that one. I like the flag one right before that.
What the hell's wrong with you?
The Hogan 86.
We're the same age, for crying out loud. How can you not like the Winged Eagle?
That, because I'm telling you, that's a belt. Remember the Brock Lesnar Undisputed title when he had that? That's a belt. That was just a little dainty, goofy-looking round belt.
Oh,
I just know.
God. No. Oh, my God. You know when people call and they go, Brian, you really never wanted to go to WWE? And I talk about it. It's hard. I'd have to leave this job. I'm too small. I'd get, you know, it just would never work. If they still had that Winged Eagle, I'd give it a shot.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. No. No, no, no.
That was the best belt they ever created, was that Winged Eagle. This has to be the geekiest show we've ever done.
By leaps and bounds, not even close.
Between the fantasy booking and marking out for the coolest title I ever created, this is the geekiest show we've ever done. Maybe that's why everybody loves the storyline so much. They feel like geek wrestling fans again.
Well, and you know what? That's actually true. There's a lot of truth into that, where for the most part, you know everything that happens now. I mean, the information is so easy to get, and people have seen so much, and there's, you know, the malaise that's been going on, you know, creatively with WWE, where they do some, you know, paint-by-numbers stuff, and it's just when you can actually be a fan again, and that's what this is, and there is intrigue, and there is surprise, and, you know, who knows? Stephanie, Kevin Dunn, Triple H, Vince, that may be all who know right now, and they will come up with a scenario of what's going to happen, and they're told, you know, right before they go out. I mean, it's just, it's because of all of that stuff. Look, we're doing a show right afterwards, you and Dave, that's going to be up immediately afterwards. I mean, people, this is a big deal. It's touched all sorts of fans. They've done a good job doing that. And I just, you know, for the average fan sitting at home, for the little kid, everything, they've done a great job with those promos in touching on everything and being everything to everybody.
This person says, Punk wins, Alberto comes out and loses, SmackDown comes out and loses, Vince comes out with the whole locker room, beats his ass, starts up a match between him and Punk, and wins for the new heavyweight championship of the world, thus making McMahon champion, makes the title meaningless, and then a storyline starts where the stars, to get back the title from McMahon, want to bring dignity back to the company. Problem is, Vince can't get in the ring and take bumps. He's too old, he's been told no more bumps. So I would not expect that one to happen. We're going to head to a break here. We've got significantly more. We've got, I can't even tell you how many emails we got today about fantasy booking for this. And a few of them are the same. Many, many, many different ideas. And what's going to be interesting to me is if the most obvious one that, you know, Punk wins, and either one or both Money in the Bank winners cash in, and Alberto Del Rio wins with the title, leaves with the title. If that actually ends up happening, I wonder if people will be disappointed. We'll discuss that when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, TV reports. In fact, moments after this show goes off the air, Dave Meltzer doing live running play-by-play of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. If by chance you are listening to this show but you're not going to buy the pay-per-view, you can head over to WrestlingObserver.com, get all of the results as they take place. Dave will be doing that. And then at about midnight Eastern, 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific, about an hour after the show goes off the air, Dave and I are going to be up running down the results of the show in detail. All of the matches on the show, we'll talk about the main event, we'll talk about the big angle, give you the entire breakdown of the pay-per-view, only at WrestlingObserver.com. Dave and I do 3 to 4 shows every single week. In fact, between all of our different radio hosts, including Mike here, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, we do 15 to 20 radio shows every single week. If you like this show and you only hear it once per week on the Sports Byline Radio Network, think about this. I do shows every single day. This past Thursday, I did 4 shows in one day. So if you've got a commute, if you like listening to stuff at work, if you like listening to stuff when you work out, when you train, wherever you like to listen to your audio, all you do is you download these shows, you put them on your iPod, you listen to them in the car, you listen to them wherever you go. We do shows all the time. So you can listen to this show once per week for free, or you can sign up. It's only $10.99 per month. That's it. No extra fees. You pay your $10.99. You not only get all of the new shows, you get all of these shows that we have ever done. All of the shows in our archive. Our archive is thousands of shows dating back to 2005. Every Observer Live that we've ever done here that has been on the front page of the website, every Observer Radio, every Brian and Vinny show, every Figure Four Daily, every Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, the list goes on and on. All available in our archives for $10.99 per month. You will never run out of audio, ever. You will never run out of audio. And I say this every week, if you like this show, I guarantee, I promise you, you will love your subscription. And if you don't love it, you pay your $10.99 once, you never pay it again, and that is the end of that. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Head up there, check out the free shows. Right-hand side of the page, you can scroll down a list of our latest 3 free shows. Just download them. They're MP3s. There's nothing to pay for. There are no ads, nothing to do. You just click on them and listen to them. And if you like them, consider signing up. Like I said, after the show tonight, we're going to be doing a brand new show at Observer.com with myself and Dave. And tomorrow on the website, we're going to do a special call-in show. You'll be able to call in and give your thoughts on what they did tonight at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Did you think it was awesome? Did you think it sucked? Call in tomorrow and let us know only at WrestlingObserver.com and only for subscribers. And Mike, before the break, we were talking about the possible simple scenario of Punk winning, Money in the Bank winner, one or both, cashing it in, Alberto leaving with the title. Do you think people will be disappointed if that happens?
I think they will be a little bit. You know, Cena's still not the coolest guy on Raw. He's got his fans, but some don't, and it's Del Rio is not. I mean, as good as I think he's been, he hasn't really struck everyone's fancy in that crowd week after week. I mean, when Ricardo came out as the Big Show all busted up, I thought both of them were fantastic. Couldn't have done any of that any better, and the crowd was sitting on their hands, and that's even with sweetening on SmackDown. So they've got to be a little bit disappointed in the way they've built him up. I mean, again, it's not like he's been a fail or anything like that, but, you know, Cena wouldn't exactly be super red hot coming out of this whole scenario. Punk wouldn't be there. I think it would be a little bit flat, actually. Again, it depends on what would happen on Monday. If you had something big for Monday, you could suck everybody back in again, because everybody that watches tonight plus, you know, many, many more will be watching on Monday night. I think the rating this week is going to be great, and if they have something great that comes from it, they can really get Alberto jammed into people's faces and get them to hate him even more. I think it works, but if not, it's just kind of a malaise coming out of, well, Alberto wins, he's Vince's corporate champion, he's going to face Cena, and that's it.
Well, how about this? If, based on the storyline so far and how hot Punk is among at least a segment of the fan base, we'll see if the casual fan base is as into it as everybody else is. If the show ends tonight and any possible scenario happens, but CM Punk does not leave with the title, do you think people will be upset?
If there's any scenario where Punk doesn't leave with the title?
Yes. No matter what the scenario is, if Punk does not leave with the title, do you think people are going to be upset?
No, I don't think people are going to be all that upset. Some will be, but I don't think it's going to be... Yeah, because everyone's got their formula and plan and stuff like that. So if he doesn't leave with the title, a lot of the people that... there's going to be a lot of people who wouldn't have a problem with that, because they want to see him come back with, say, Colton, the Kings of Wrestling down the line or something like that. So, no, I don't think... some people will be, but that's... I don't think it will be a whole big, you know, negative storm or something like that if that scenario happens.
This person predicts Punk beats Cena clean, walks out with the title, leading to the big ratings on Monday night. Raw's focus for the next month is what CM Punk will do with the title, and how can the WWE get it back? Vince is forced to rehire Cena to try to get the title back for the WWE, which leads to the SummerSlam rematch.
Boy, that would be real quick then. He's going to fire, you know, everything, and then everything kind of, you know, rapid fire in 3 weeks leading up to it. I mean, it could happen, but it would just be... Yeah. I mean, I think you would really be rushing that if you were going to go that direction.
Problem with the scenario is the very reason there's a Vince McMahon fires Cena storyline is because he's going to fire him if Cena can't save the title. So it wouldn't make sense to fire him because he couldn't beat Punk and then rehire him as the only guy who can beat Punk.
Which would have to be basically immediately.
Sure.
Which then, you know, then just would render it very impotent. I mean, it could happen, but that would be like a TNA, we're going to squeeze what should be 3 months or leading in. That would be a scenario that would lead into the Survivor Series, not into SummerSlam.
This person says, do you see a Punk and Vince swerve that they are working together? Is that too much Russo booking? I would say so. It makes no sense for either character.
That's the one where everybody goes, okay, this blue, and that's when that would be the only thing I think you would have to worry about a Monday rating or worry about people's feelings coming after it. That just is not going to work.
I love this one here. This person had a typo, which makes it even funnier. Matt Bourne wins the Raw ladder match. I presume he means Evan Bourne and not Doink.
Maniac Matt Bourne.
After Punk beats Cena, McMahon forces Bourne to go out injured, and Punk beats him clean. Sheamus wins a SmackDown match, and Vince tells him to go out, but he's injured and refuses. Says he wants to challenge for the SmackDown title anyway. McMahon threatens him. He still refuses, so we get a face turn. Punk leaves as champion, disappears for a while. McMahon feuds with Sheamus on SmackDown, trying to screw him for his betrayal. And at the same time on Raw, he continues to beg Punk to come back. Eventually, the promise that McMahon will give the company to Punk instead of Stephanie and Triple H. If he'll bring him back for a match, which he'll lose while gone, he'll continue doing promos on Raw, saying he'll never come back until he eventually does it SummerSlam or Survivor Series. Same time, Orton, who has never drawn a dime and has bored people for a decade, will finally move down the card.
Wow.
Don't hold your breath. Wait for that one.
The odds are pretty low on that one.
Vince, I don't see giving up his company just for a belt.
Todd's odds, 0.4%.
Yeah. Let's see what we have here. Money in the Bank. Truth wins Money in the Bank. Sheamus wins the other. Backstage, you see a briefcase of money exchanged for Truth's Money in the Bank briefcase. Cabana takes Sheamus out so he can't cash in, but he finds Truth and realizes his briefcase is full of cash. Punk wins. Thinks Cabana took care of the Money in the Bank winners. All of a sudden, it's time to play the game. Music hits. Triple H heads to the ring, pissed off, goes in there, beats Punk for the title. People will hate that, I might add, and sets Punk up to come back and demand a fight at SummerSlam. You know I said earlier that I look for things to play into things. You know, why did Alberto get his championship number one contender match if they just took it away? There has to be a reason for that. Then there's that part of me that goes, maybe there has to be a reason that CM Punk name-dropped Triple H. I so hope there's not. People would hate that if Triple H was the guy that came back and beat Punk for the title. But I suppose it's possible.
Well, see, that's not the one I would look into, though, just because, you know, he name-dropped Stephanie, too, and I can't see her. I mean, just at this point, with this whole thing, neither one of them coming out or anything like that. I thought it was just a nice way to play into the reality of everything. And, you know, Vince, you know, this past Monday, too, where it's, you know, hey, pal, can I call you Phil? You know, and all that sort of stuff. I think it just, it was done because everyone knows, yet it's the thing that's not said. So I think that would just played into it better.
This person says he's 80% sure there'll be a Colt Cabana run-in, similar to the Arn Anderson quick spine buster and leave from Flair Undertaker at WrestleMania X8. They don't have to sign Colt to a contract, but the Chicago crowd would know him and go crazy for the near fall. They're not using anybody on television that's not under contract. Arn was at least under contract during that period, but if they're going to use Colt, then Colt has signed. Let's just put it that way.
Now, in my scenario, too, that's the flip side of that is Colt can work in Ring of Honor with CM Punk for a while, those first tapings in Chicago, if you wanted to, because, again, all of them would be over with by October 8th. It's not like, you know, ROH is going to be a threat or anything. It keeps the Internet, you know, interested to see what CM Punk would say about being just out of WWE on ROH programming. And I swear, part of this fantasy scenario is that WWE starts looking at Ring of Honor, and granted, you know, not to look at it as a farm system or a feeder system, but just as an extension to just having more than FCW, because your boy is going to debut on SmackDown. I can't even remember his name now, and I don't want to see it. Johnny Curtis.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
Johnny Curtis.
He'll last 3 weeks max. Brian, I thought of a finish to trigger an ROH invasion. Yeah, Brian wins SmackDown, have Vince force the Raw Money in the Bank winner to cash in, only to have Punk beat him. You would then have Vince command Brian to cash in. Instead of cashing in, he forms an alliance with Punk, cuts a promo saying they are going to ROH. If you had Brian cash in on Christian, you would have him jump the Raw Money in the Bank winner on his way to the ring. I don't really think they will do this, but it would be great to see. What do you think? I don't think that the invasion is going the other way. It's possible. But I don't picture like WWE shooting an angle to promote their guys going to ROH. All right, let's see. What kind of buy rate would you expect for the show, this person asks, for it to be considered a success? Well, nowadays, if it does 150, it's a success. I think if it did 175, they consider it a big success. If it did 200, they consider it a huge success. I'm predicting 175. Mike, what are you predicting?
I was thinking more along the lines of like 150, 160, but it, you know, a positive 150.
This person here, John Cena loses to Punk. Daniel Bryan and Evan Bourne win Money in the Bank. Vince comes out, defend one of them, come out to save his company. Bryan and Bourne come out, teasing the cash-in, only to shave Punk's head. All three destroy shake Punk's hand. All three destroy Cena, leaving together through the crowd. Vince announces both men have been fired. Punk will never work for him again. Two new Money in the Bank matches tonight. Sheamus and actually, that's not a bad idea since they do that all the time. Not saying it's a good idea, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Money in the Bank match tomorrow on Raw, just because that's what they do. Eventually, one of them announces they are going to cash in next week for the vacant title. A lot of internet darling invasions here, this guy says. Brian Bourne, Hero, Castagnoli, Caban and Gallows destroy Vince. No one's destroying Vince. We should put that out first. And then Vince brings back Cena to drive the new threat off. Don't know if you're going to see those guys, at least tomorrow night.
No, and you know, I would actually hope that they wouldn't. You know, I hope they, if they have something with the Kings, that they have them going, here, this is what we want to teach you about being on WWE TV, and have them working with guys before they're even in.
We're going to head to a break. The show has flown by. We'll do a couple of last notes after the break, and then it's time for Money in the Bank. That's right. Pay-per-view starting. We'll be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And in a couple of moments, WWE Money in the Bank 2011 is about to begin. John Cena versus CM Punk in the main event. If CM Punk leaves Chicago with the championship, John Cena in storyline is fired. And of course, he'll still end up on Raw tomorrow, because that's what they do. But a lot of different scenarios possible. We've spent 2 hours running down your emails, talking about what people think could happen. And the two obvious scenarios, John Cena just beats him and leaves with the title, which some people still think is going to happen. Or we do a scenario where CM Punk wins and someone cashes in their Money in the Bank briefcase. And perhaps he beats that person and another person cashes in. There are a lot of different scenarios. Who is going to win with the title? Who's going to leave with the title? One thing people haven't been suggesting, which I just think they're not suggesting this because no one can even imagine something like this happening, is John Cena just beating CM Punk and away he goes, but then somebody cashing in the Money in the Bank on John Cena. I don't think anyone suggested that yet. And there are different scenarios you could do there as well if you actually wanted to do the Daniel Bryan CM Punk deal where Daniel Bryan cashes in on John Cena and then announces he is going to ROH. A lot of different ways they could go here for tomorrow night's show, or tonight's show actually, starting in just a couple of moments. Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play. In fact, it should be up right now at WrestlingObserver.com, so head over there if you're not getting the show. Dave will give you all the results of all the matches as they take place live. It is up there. It is free at WrestlingObserver.com. And then about an hour after the show ends, at about 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, Dave and I are going to be up with a brand new radio show only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be talking about all of the matches on the show. We'll review it in detail. We'll talk about the main event. We'll talk about who left with the title, where this could be going on Raw. We'll talk about whether there were any injuries, anything else on the show. It's going to be exclusive to WrestlingObserver.com members, so sign up today. No better time. And of course, we'll be back next week with a brand new live show. So have a good night tonight. Have fun. We'll talk to you then. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.